All right. You ready for sermon number two?
Amen.
Revelation chapter 3. I appreciate so much Brother Bill being here with us. I hope that's okay that I call you that. Dr. Littlefield, if it's not. I'm so glad that he came, and I'm so glad that he was obedient to the Lord to say what the Lord would have him to say. I believe that was a help to our church, so thank you so much. Revelation chapter 3. And verse number 2, if you have one of our Bibles from the chair in front of you, it's page number 1727. Our Lord said to the Apostle John, in verse number 2, "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God." Pray that the Lord will add His blessing to the reading and to the preaching of His Word this morning. Like many modern churches, the living organism of the church in Sardis had become a dead organization. He said there, "You have a name that you live," at the end of verse number 1, "and are dead," he said. He said that you act like you're alive. You have a name in the community, that you exist. Your doors are open. You have hours of service. You have ministries that you do, but you're dead, he said. That's pretty final. That's pretty serious. You're dead. But churches like this are like an ailing lung, and they have a few cells doing all of the work. And the only real life in such churches are just a few believers that keep the thing going. I'm thankful this morning that I don't think this is the diagnosis of our church. I think we have a good core group of faithful cells that are keeping this thing going and have been for a long time before I got here. Amen? I'm thankful for the folks that kept this church going through the years. Thankful for the ministries of Don Walker and Delbert Walker and all of the various preachers that came in to help this church out through the time that this church went through without a pastor. So thankful for everybody who's kept this going. But what I want to say to us this morning is I've been thinking a lot about the health of a church and how do we make an accurate diagnosis of our church. I want to keep this thing going, don't you? I don't want our church to die, but here's the facts, is that a church is always one generation from extinction. That's the truth this morning. And if this thing is going to stay alive, it's going to stay alive because of God's people believing that we can go forward with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That we're not done. It's not time to slow down. It's time to speed up and do more for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm not done here today. Are you? I know you're not. But we need someone that will say, "I will stand in the gap. I will make up the hedge. I will continue to reach out to children. I will continue to teach a Sunday school class. I will continue to help clean the building and open it up. And I will be a friend to a visitor and make them feel welcome. I will be one who will deal with souls at the altar." We need people to stand in the gap to continue the work that we have here today. But more than anything, what do we need? We need men and women of prayer.
Amen.
We need men and women of prayer. Now look, the Lord says that you have a name, that you live, and you're dead. But then He doesn't end there. In verse number 2, He says, "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die." And I think this is absolutely hilarious that my illustration today is what it is. But here we go, having a doctor with us. Let's suppose that you wake up tomorrow morning and you have a terrible stomach ache. You call your doctor. He says, "Go ahead and come on in. I can take you." And so you get to the office and the nurse has you fill out a form. And on that form, they want to know about illnesses in the past, medications, surgeries, things like that, allergies. You step on the scale. The nurse writes down your weight. You're disappointed. Your height is measured. And about that point, you wonder, why in the world do you want to know these things? The problem is with my stomach. And the nurse says to you, the doctor needs your vital signs to make a correct diagnosis. So my question this morning is, what are the vital signs of the church? How do we really gauge whether or not our church is healthy? We could try to gauge our health by comparing ourselves to others, couldn't we? I don't consider myself to be an independent fundamental Baptist preacher. I consider myself to be a Bible-believing Christian called to preach. Amen? This is a Bible-believing church. I think it's important to have Baptists on the sign that lets people know what they're getting. Amen? If I go to the store and I'm shopping and there's no labels, I have no idea what I'm about ready to purchase. I guess I just got to buy it, take it home, open it up, and see if I like it. We need labels to a certain extent, but I'm going to tell you, we need to be a Bible-believing church here for Jesus Christ in the 21st century, still doing the work, still staying by the stuff. But there's 13,719 independent fundamental Baptist churches in the United States. This was taken back in 2008. There were 44,696 Southern Baptist churches, if you're interested in knowing that. The average size of the independent Baptist church is about 180 people coming in through the doors of the church at any given time throughout a week. But the typical size of a congregation on a Sunday morning is about 100 in worship of those independent fundamental Baptist churches. Half of our churches have a bus ministry. They average about 44 children in their bus ministry. So you can think, if there's 100 people in worship, 44 of those children may be maybe 44 of those souls may be children. They say this, and this is sad, but the average numbers of professions of faith per year are 74, with only 27% being baptized. Now, that's not good. That's not good enough. And 18% remaining faithful to the church. What can we do to help those numbers? First of all, preach the whole gospel. And don't pick green fruit, but churches give an average of 19% to missions. Churches just like ours. Average of 19% of their budget to missions. Now, I'm just going to say that we could try to gauge our health by that, but that tells me nothing about the health of a church. Those churches might be unhealthy. Those churches, they might be toxic churches. Those churches might be the kind of church that you go to and it wrecks your faith. Your family falls apart because you're not actually being ministered to in those kind of churches. Those churches might be the kind of churches that are just upholding a certain amount of standards. And if you fit into these standards, then you fit into our group and now you belong to us. And if you don't fit into these standards, you don't belong to our group. And so you go somewhere else, I guess. So it's not wise to do that, I don't think. Plus, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 12 says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with those that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." So it's not wise to do that. So how do we measure our faith? Or our health, rather. Well, Revelation chapter 3, and if you just read chapter 2 and chapter 3, you'll get the idea. The Lord deals with the works of each of the seven churches. He talks about their works. Jesus said, you're going to go into all the world, you're going to preach the gospel to every creature, teaching them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you. How many churches do you know that do that? We could start there. But our works, are we teaching people to obey the commandments of Christ, which Jesus gave His stamp of authority on the Old Testament? So that makes the Old Testament part of what He commands. He, during His earthly ministry, gave us many commands and teachings. That makes that part of what He commands. And then we believe that Jesus Christ gave His revelation through the apostles to write down the New Testament, therefore giving us more of the commandments that we're supposed to obey and to teach. But Jesus talks about the works of the churches in verses number 1 and 2 of chapter 3. Verse number 3 talks about watching for the Lord to come back. A healthy church is a church that is waiting and watching for the Lord to come back, not wanting to be ashamed when He returns. Verse number 4, a church is a holy church. Verse number 4, He says, "There's a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy." So a church is a holy church. Somebody said that the church should be a center of learning for holy living. That's what a church should be. And also, the Lord is awful interested in whether or not we guard the truth. He says to the church in Philadelphia in verse number 8, I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou had a little strength. And you've kept my word, and you have not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which and so on and so forth. But he says, you kept my word, and you didn't deny my name. The Lord's interested in us guarding the truth, because we are the pillar and the ground of truth in the community. Where do you think the kids that go to this school are going to hear the truth if they're not going to hear it from the church?
Yeah.
They're just not going to hear it.
That's right.
We are the ones who have been entrusted with the truth. I mean, they're going to learn the truth about mathematics. Thank God. I wish I would have got a little bit more of that. They're going to learn the truth about English and grammar and so on and so forth. And they're going to learn some truth about earth science and things like that. But they're going to learn a lot of lies too. But that's not the truth that I'm talking about. The truth that I'm talking about is that we have a God who created us. We were lost in sin. And so He sent His Son to redeem us, to buy us back. And He has a will for your life. And He's gathering out a people for His namesake. He made Jesus Christ both Christ and Lord. That means He's Christ. He can redeem us. And He's Lord. He's King of Kings. And I want to say this, by the way. Somebody said that we ought to preach the gospel until the world becomes the kingdom of God. You're on a fool's errand. You're not going to preach the gospel until the world becomes the kingdom of God. Don't you read your Bible? We're going to preach the gospel until the Lord is done calling out a people for His name, and then we're out of here. And then the Antichrist is going to get this building. That's our job. To make disciples, to make faithful followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to teach them the Bible. And we all need to be here for that. That's a healthy church. A church on a mission. And then we're supposed to care for widows, care for the fatherless. I mean, we've got a job to do. My goodness, do we ever have a job to do. So the Lord in verse number 2, He says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Can I just say this? He says in verse number 6, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Lord, give us ears to hear. Can you say that this morning? Lord, give me ears to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. Because what He's saying to Sardis, no doubt He's saying to us. Okay, let's give ourselves an honest evaluation. Do we have things that are weak that we need to strengthen? I think we do. As a result of the whole COVID shutdown, as a result of that, we were not having services for a series of weeks. And through that time, you, like me, we realized that we really miss each other. And there's so much more to church than just preaching. That it's the fellowship of the believers. It's the work that we have to do. It's our service to one another. There's so much. It's the strength that we get from one another and edifying one another and building one another up. And we want to serve. We want to use our gifts that we have. There's so much to church. But we've realized that we were kind of stripped down to the bare essentials. And so now we realize what is really important. We know now what the essentials are. And then what the non-essentials are that we don't really need, that we don't really need to do. And so I hope as a church that's going to help us focus on what are the essentials and then take those things that remain and then strengthen them. Strengthen them. How do we make things stronger? Well, we exercise, don't we? And we talked a couple of weeks ago about Acts chapter 2, verse number 42. How to be a strong church. How to be a strong believer. And they that continued steadfastly. That's translated from a word that at its root means to be strong. So they that continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Four things. If you do those four things, you will be strong and you won't backslide. Continue in the doctrine, fellowship of believers, breaking of bread, and in prayers.
Amen.
How do we get stronger physically if we want to stay in shape? Well, we have a regular fitness program. It's the same thing with church. We need regular fellowship together, regular teaching, regular preaching.
Amen.
I was kind of curious through this whole thing, and I'll finish with this. I was curious, having been through the Army infantry back when I was 19 years old, entered into the military. And I remember what kind of shape I was back then, but I thought, what if I wanted to go into the military now? What if the Lord called me to be an Army chaplain? What would I have to do to get through basic training? So I found out on the website that you can get through basic training getting only a 50% score in each of the three activities. One is push-ups, sit-ups, and running, a 2-mile run. So to get a 50% in push-ups, you have to do 24 push-ups in 2 minutes. To get a 50% in sit-ups, you have to do 29 sit-ups in 2 minutes. And to get a 50%, this is for a 37 to 41-year-old, to get a 50% in running, you have to do the 2-mile run in 19 minutes and 30 seconds. That's a lot of time. So I thought to myself, I wonder if I can still do that. And I was crazy enough to try, because I don't work out like I should. I didn't have to work out before. Now I have to. So I decided to see if I could do that 2-mile run. So I told Beth, I said, would you get in the car? Would you drive up 33, 2 miles, pull over, and I'm going to run. I feel pretty good today. You know, I'm feeling kind of froggy. I haven't had my lunch yet. I'm going to do it. So I did it. And do you want to know how fast I did it? I did it in 17 minutes and 30 seconds. I made it. I don't know about push-ups and sit-ups because there was nothing else I could do for the rest of the day. The rest of the day, I'm telling you. Yeah. So I realized the glory is gone. The glory has departed. So now I just need to, exercise. That's what I need to do. Right, doctor? It's important. I need to exercise. Well, as a church, we need to exercise and strengthen the things that remain. Regular use of these things to strengthen our spiritual muscles and to get stronger.
Amen.
Do you want to know what a 2-mile run for a 17 to 21-year-old is to get a 100% in the Army on the physical fitness training test? You can run 2 miles in 13 minutes and you'll get 100%. That's a 17 to 21-year-old. When I was 19, I could do it in 11 minutes and a few seconds. So those days are way gone. All right, and some of you think I'm bragging, so I'm going to move on. All right, he says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Can I just say this? As far as our local church ministry, here are some things, just some practical things that we can think about as to whether or not our church is healthy. Okay, number one is our witness. We need to be witnesses to guests that come to our church services. We need to be witnesses as missionaries in our area. We need to support world missions. We need to be making a good, positive first impression with visitors. And really, what that means, we can try to make the place look nice as much as possible, but what it really means is just being friendly and welcoming people in. Amen. Making people feel glad that they came to church today. Amen? And sometimes I'm not going to be the one that always does that. So you guys need to do that too. All right, number three, practical Bible messages. And that's where I need to strengthen that. How is this going to help me out on Monday morning? Number four, follow up with our guests. And a lot of times, it's good to see a husband and a wife show up on somebody's doorstep saying, we're so glad you came to church. We have a basket. We have some gifts here. We hope that you'll come back. Those kind of things are nice. That's something my wife and I can do. That's something a couple of ladies from the church can do. It's just a really nice ministry. Number five, call men and women to devoted discipleship. As a church, we need to, just like the brother said this morning, I'm so glad, we need to call people to devoted discipleship. It's not just praying a prayer and saying, I'm good, I'm not going to hell. It's, I need to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Not for salvation now, but this is what we're called to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And so devoted discipleship. We need to meet the physical needs of our members and of anyone else that we can. And then finally, exalt our great God and our Savior. So how are we doing as a church? It's not time to quit. It's not time to quit. It's not even time to slow down.
Amen.
Amen. It's time to keep on, keeping on for the Lord, and do what He's called you to do. At the end of life's little day, if the Lord were to come back today, could you say, could you look the Lord in His eyes and say, I left it all on the field? Could you say, I left it all on the floor? I went out and I played my best. I gave everything I had to that game. In the sense of our spiritual life, could you say, I gave everything I had to the Lord? I did all that I could for Him. Or would you have to say, I regret that there's something that I wanted to do and I never did do it. I just never did get around to doing it. The Lord called me to do this thing and I just, things just kept getting in the way. And I kept saying, well, I'll wait till I retire. And then I retired and then I got busy and then I moved. And, you know, when the Lord comes back, we need to keep that constantly in our minds that we're going to give an account of our life. We're going to give account of our service to Him at the judgment seat of Christ. And He's going to be interested in every little thing that we did in the name of Jesus. If you came to this church and you pressure washed a little bit of the building, He's interested in that. He's interested in that. If you did that for Him, He's interested in that. Every little thing that we do is going to set us up for the rewards that we're going to enjoy for eternity. And as a church, people are sensitive right now. People are open. And as a church, this is a time to be reaching out and just ask the Lord how we can do that. And I've been meeting together with the Sunday school workers and we've been talking just about that right there. And so as a church, we need to be meeting together as the adults and the adult service and thinking about that. What can we do? All right, let's go ahead and bow our heads in a word of prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Adam to come ahead. He's going to lead us in a hymn of invitation. I want to say this morning, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I want to remind you that Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, He would not have come up from that grave if there would have been any sin left over that His sacrifice didn't cover. He could not have come up from that grave if there would have been any item or article of the law of God that stands against us and shows us our guilt. If there would have been any part of the law that Jesus Christ did not satisfy and fulfill with His life, His ministry, and His sacrifice, He could not have come up from the grave. But Jesus Christ on the third day rose again from the grave, defeating death and hell, and His sacrifice is sufficient to pay for your sins and to save your soul from an eternal separation from God in a place called hell that nobody wants to go to and nobody thinks they're going there. Have you taken Him up on His offer? He said, whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. He can give you a drink that will satisfy your soul for eternity if you'll only trust Him. If there's one here today who's never really trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, you're not sure what would happen if you were to get a virus and to die. You don't know what would happen to you in eternity. If that's your case, I invite you to come forward at this invitation, to come forward and confess the name of Jesus Christ and to pray and ask Him to be your Savior and Lord. Lord, I pray that You'd bless this time of invitation. Bless our church, Lord. Help us in our weakness and be strong. Help us to be strong in the power of Your might by Your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
489.
489. If you would, grab a songbook and stand with us.